Welcome to the Bylines Network podcast, the audio accompaniment to our growing family of regional Bylines publications.
This is the first episode in a mini-series on how the higher education sector changed throughout the COVID-19 pandemic.
We'll be talking about everything from online lectures, accommodation disasters, and life after graduation.
Your hosts for this mini-series are me, Paige, from West Sussex.
Me, Connor, from North East.
And me, John, from London. So the idea to create the education series came from an article released by The Guardian, which basically spoke about the University of Manchester, how they're kind of receiving backlash right now for wanting to keep lectures online. So basically, the only way they're going to allow in-person sessions is through seminars. And kind of as a response to that, more than 3,000 students signed a petition. And those kind of numbers are very telling of, you know, kind of the overall student experience that a lot of us have had through this year and a half pandemic. I mean, I'll get onto my experience a little bit later on, but how's it like for you guys?
Before COVID, while my course relied on real-world lectures and seminars, the funny thing is that all the reading you had to do prior to the lectures and seminars, they were all based online. The entirety of my reading lists were more or less online. Some of the lectures were actually pre-recorded and uploaded onto Panopto as well. So it wasn't as if the online infrastructure wasn't there prior to the pandemic. 94% of universities mentioned something about COVID on Twitter prior to the first lockdown. So how universities weren't prepared to deliver teaching in a competent manner online is beyond me. I don't know what you think though.
I completely agree, Connor. A lot of my university online infrastructure was already there. We had online reading lists and we had Panopto as well. And it is quite shocking that they had no sort of way of delivering it in a competent way. It was delivered, but obviously, like, you know, you have no face-to-face interaction anymore from your lecturers. And I think you're missing that social interaction with your other peers because, you know, on a Zoom meeting, you can just pause, record, cover your face, put yourself on mute. And I think that really, it changed how university had become for me, I think.
Yeah, so my kind of university experience was way different compared to you guys because journalism was a lot more practical. You know, rarely were we ever in class. We were always kind of sent to the city centres to do interviews, to film videos and do stuff like that. You know, we had in-class projects. And then we would kind of go back into class towards the end of the lecture to edit. And that kind of all changed when the pandemic hit because now all of a sudden we kind of had to do the same thing, but from home, which you can see why it's kind of difficult because journalism involves so much interaction. And I kind of found out that when I tried to conduct these interviews, nobody really wanted to speak to me in person. It was always on Zoom, so that was another thing I had to kind of deal with. The most outstanding problem that I faced, aside from the ones that I already mentioned, was editing. Like I said before, we kind of had our own sessions to edit our projects, and we would even be allowed to do that during assessment weeks, but you know, that kind of all changed when the pandemic hit. And while they did give us software, I kind of found that there wasn't really that much guidance. And although I could kind of speak to the lecturers during the class, it was a lot harder for them to explain it to me. So I found myself Googling and watching YouTube videos on how to do basic things that could really be explained in an in-person session. So it was kind of a very weird figuring out process for me, which it was probably like that for everybody else, to be honest. Actually, the one thing that I will give them credit for is the fact that the university did take into consideration the people who didn't have accessibility to computers at home. So they were able to lend laptops to students, and I think that really helped a lot of people get through the online transition. We also had a Media Loan Hub. The Media Loan Hub was more for the creative degrees, so journalism and filmmaking, for example. But what was really convenient was the fact that students could kind of lend equipment anytime they needed. So for journalism, that would kind of involve getting cameras and microphone equipment, stuff like that. I left uni just after the news of the pandemic broke out, so I wasn't actually able to experience that, but it's just nice to know that the uni were doing something. But yeah, I'm not sure if it was just ours, but did your universities have anything like that?
Oh, like for me, in my university, we didn't get laptops as such, but it's good that our universities did provide that, because obviously, you know, remote learning, that's the most important thing. I think that was almost like a must they had to. I think the government put that in place. But we did get support in terms of, like, they kind of signposted us to places. So there's a lot of emails keeping us up to date with the restrictions and saying if you need help mentally or well-being sessions and stuff like that. But it wasn't, you know, go to your personal tutor. It was more just these are the signposted places you could go to. You could speak to this person. You can call Samaritans, all these different things. It wasn't necessarily the uni itself supporting you. So other than that, it was that, and obviously safeguarding policy or no detriment policy. But other than that, there, I wouldn't say there was any very focused support. My supervisor was great, but I don't know about other people. There was definitely, within my sociology course, the feeling that we were kind of been sort of left a little bit. And lack of support because it was online, less people interacting with us. But it's good that universities did you know, get laptops for people to take home and study if they didn't have it. Otherwise, you know, they're being left out and not being able to help. So that's quite good.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are loads of different subjects that are probably finding it harder. Like, I know friends that have done arty subjects, that have done practical vocational courses. Like a friend that did animation, and, you know, you have to physically go into the studio to do animation, or, you know, art subjects and being able to physically go to a place to, you know, paint or whatever. In that sense, Connor and I are lucky that it was, you know, essay-based subject. But still, I don't know about you, Connor, but it definitely affected how I felt about university, and I felt stressed and isolated. I don't know how you felt.
There was definitely a sense of isolation there, everything being online, and I've especially noticed it this year. It's almost maybe a bit more lazy in the sense that you can just wake up, go straight into your lecture, and literally just wear your pajamas. You don't have to have your camera on or your microphone on. So I think that did definitely enable some unhealthy study habits. And I think that was partly due to the burnout that I experienced as a result of all of this online learning. All the negativity definitely led to some unhealthy coping strategies, including screaming at my phone every time I got a COVID-19 update email. It got that bad that I screamed every time I got an email. I don't know if you ended up feeling that way at any point. It was like, ah, stop sending me so many stupid emails. I don't know if you had that experience, though. Maybe that's just me.
Well, Connor, I don't think you're alone. So I found out, I wrote an article a while ago in my student publication about like how the university students are being ignored and forgotten. Like, are we paying the price of the pandemic? And I found out that the mental health charity Mind found that you're not alone. 73% of students, that their mental health declined during the first lockdown, and seems to be that it kept going, especially during online learning. So you screaming at your phone because of the notifications, I think, is not, you're not the only one, I don't think.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback on what you said, Connor, about you didn't kind of being an experience, I definitely agree with that, because, you know, part of it for me was waking up and getting ready for uni. I mean, the first day of semester was technically like the first day of school for me. You know, it came down to the kind of little things about, you know, what am I going to wear today kind of thing. And you know, although it was kind of childish, it gave me like good motivation to want to go to class. And yeah, I found that online, it was kind of awkward that you can just kind of roll out of bed and you didn't even have to keep your camera on. So a lot of the times I would find it very awkward to speak because, you know, they can't tell when you want to speak or when you're done speaking. So there's a lot of clash between classmates about who's going to speak first. And, you know, it was all kind of a very messy experience. But yeah, that was definitely one of the things I do miss a lot about uni.
Definitely, definitely. I think it's a bit of a shame, but I think the main thing about COVID and uni now is that the massive transformation of sort of the campus and all the sort of social sides as well. So uni without for me and for a lot of university students around the UK, all seminars and lectures are now online. Face-to-face interaction was pretty much zilch. Clubs were cancelled, social interactions were cancelled, library, you weren't allowed to go to the library, eating on campus was gone. So imagine your whole sort of life of university has just been reduced to you, your bedroom, and your laptop sort of thing. And I think no wonder people were feeling rubbish and mental health was declining, because no one can do that, you know, continue to do that for a long period of time.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've been robbed of an experience, definitely. For example, I was actually on a freshers team. I was on a freshers team member at the beginning of last academic year. And it was definitely a different experience to what I had experienced when I was a fresher myself prior to the pandemic. I'm actually a freshers team leader this year. And I'm definitely interested in seeing how different it's gonna be, especially coming off the back of Freedom Day and the increasing rates amongst my region, which is the Northeast. So I have a feeling that even though the person I hate the most, Gavin Williamson, even though he said, everything at university can go back to face to face, I have a feeling he's gonna be singing a very different tune. Soon come September.
100%. And I remember a couple months ago, my good friend of mine, she was at a different university to myself, but she wrote an open letter to Gavin Williamson, and we shared it all around social media, and we tried to get loads of people to sign the petition. And it was just when the university students were exploding, and it was to do with the fact that, which we'll be talking about later in the series, the renting issue, graduation and fees and all these different things, about the fact that we are still paying the 9 to 9K for an online interaction of university, which is not what we signed up for. You know, we didn't sign up for the Open University. And yeah, so she wrote this open letter to Gavin Williamson, got a load of signatures, and didn't hear anything back from him. So I understand why you don't like him, and I know that he will be singing a different tune later on, 100%.
Yeah, Paige, what you said about the open letter was actually really interesting because it's kind of obvious that it has affected every single university student. There was actually a petition online to urge the government to cut down the tuition fees from 9,250 to 3K, and close to 582,000 people signed. Unfortunately, the government did respond on the 26th of January, saying that tuition fees must represent value for money and ensure that universities are properly funded. Therefore, the government is not considering reduction in maximum fee levels to 3,000. And that rejection is kind of crazy to me because, yeah, like we said, university is an experience, and it goes down to even the little things, like we were talking about social events and how it massively helps well-being for a lot of precious students. So it's kind of surprising that they would reject it. And we've missed out on what? A year and a half of uni? So when you kind of talk about the value for money, I really don't think it's there. And also, you and I, Paige, can attest to this because, you know, we're recent graduates. The third year is immensely hard, way harder than the second year, in my opinion. And the fact that it, you know, weighs a lot more. It's 80% for this year, 20% last year. And with all that kind of uncertainty about what's happening right now, it must be like really, really nerve-wracking. Obviously, the restrictions have been eased, but you kind of don't know where the future of education is in terms of university and lecture halls. So I'm guessing you're probably feeling that pressure now too, Connor.
Oh yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking, especially as there's still the potential for lectures at my university to be online in the 3rd year. And as we've seen this year, even at their best implemented, there's some stuff that you can't recreate in a virtual seminar room. That's good about
No.
the in-person lectures and seminars, like you can't recreate that. And so I
No.
did get my results back. I got a 2.1, which I'm very impressed with. Woo, 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 woo. But I am still quite terrified for my last year.
Listen, you'll smash it, but I definitely understand where the pressure's coming from. And I'm not going to lie to you, when COVID hit, I was so grateful that I was almost coming towards the end of my university career, because the idea of starting university during this time, or being right in the middle, like being in second year and basically going on to do my 3rd year dissertation with the knowing that everything would be online or things would be changing, was quite hard. Like, I went into university, obviously, not knowing the pandemic would come, second year thinking I'd do research, public social research, actually out and about in the city, and not being able to do that was definitely hard, having that taken away from me. But I think it's just something that, everything is now changing for good now. The way people work from home and the structure of society is now changing, and I guess universities have to change too. I guess because they're a business, it's just upsetting that they're not really looking after their customers, maybe they're, in terms of pastoral care and support. But talking about that, did you guys have a safety net or a detriment policy? No detriment policy?
Yeah, so the way that the university handled the whole no detriment situation was kind of weird because, when the pandemic hit, I was still kind of in the second semester of my 2nd year. And since they didn't really know how to kind of go around the whole idea of grading, they gave us an average. And I'm sure it was kind of like that for everybody. But yeah, they gave us an average. And you couldn't possibly go below that average, which, for the most part was really, really good because we were struggling as much as they were in terms of producing work. So of course our grades were going to be a lot lower than what they usually were. But coming into the 3rd year is when it all changed. They changed the no detriment policy in a way that compared us to the previous students last year. So the 3rd years last year, who were kind of on the beginning of the pandemic, that's who we were being compared to. And to me, that was a really unfair comparison because we were kind of in the middle of the whole pandemic where, everything was shut. Back then, you could still get some projects done here and there. Obviously, a lot of places were closing, but it wasn't in a full, complete lockdown like we were in. So when we were told that we had to compare our grades with people who are in obviously a completely different situation to us, it just felt like a really unfair disadvantage, really. Although we did try really hard to get the no detriment policy to kind of go back to the way it was last year, the university wouldn't really allow it. Some of our lecturers kind of took our side during the whole thing, but at the end of the day, it kind of wasn't up to them. It was more up to the modulators. So, yeah, that was my experience. How was it like for the rest of you?
I mean, it's weird because I'm on an essay-based course. My no detriment policy is a lot simpler. Well, was a bit simpler. Basically, any grade that we got for the first semester, that couldn't decrease. So if I had failed every assignment in the second semester, I would have still had the baseline grade from the first one. And this was during my first year. So I thought the no detriment policy was really great. We had none of that this year. So we had some what they called, quote unquote, assessment regulations designed to take COVID-19 into account, but nothing compared to what we had last year. And their reasoning for that was, well, we're now used to online learning because we've done it for over a year. And a lot of my course mates and myself were like, that doesn't make it better, that makes it worse since we've had online learning, or yet the experience hasn't been the same. And yet we're getting no proper accommodations for that. Luckily, as I said before, it worked out for me in the end, but I thought that was very frustrating.
So, yeah, for my university, the detriment policy or safety net, whatever you want to particularly call it, we had in second year was to look at our averages and figure out you basically couldn't fail it. So, if you got below 40, it was capped at 40. So, you would never fail a module. You could still get bad grade, you could still get 50s or whatever, but it was just capped. So, no one failed second year, basically, in that sense. So, you were okay. It was almost like being first year again. Like there was no way you could fail. As long as you got 40 and above, you basically sailed through. And they were quite lenient, and there was a lot of what's it called? When you mitigated circumstances, there was a lot of that you could put forward to say our COVID mitigated circumstances. They actually put in a policy for us that you can apply for mitigating circumstances and not say any reason before. You had to provide evidence for either a doctor's note or mental health reason, whatever. But with this, they just said because of COVID, you can apply for mitigating circumstances because it's been so tough for people. So that's helped us a lot in terms of like the safety net slash that. So everyone was sort of protected. But then in my third year, what they did is that because it's weighted differently, third year to second year, they didn't know how to like show our averages and how much the workload goes up in third year. So basically all they did was sort of say, we'll give you 1% on the boundary, on the sort of grade boundary. So if you're really, really close to a first, if you've got a 69.9% average, weighted average, they'll just bump you up to a first. Or if you've got on the 2-1 average, on the 2-2 average, they bump you up to the first. But there's been a bit of concern about if that's actually happened or not, because some people are saying that they've got that percentage on the edge, but they've not been bumped up. So that's sort of what's happened with my university.
That sounds difficult.
Yeah, it was really tricky, but like I said, made it through the other end.
Woo, congratulations. You've done it.
Thank you, God. Yeah, made it. Now I just don't want to do anything now.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how the uni's going to take a different approach next year. I think with all the things that have been going on with the petitions and stuff like that. I think it's about time for the uni to adapt to the students' needs anyway. And on the bright side, things are looking like they are going back to normal, but I don't know, we just have to wait and see, I guess. But Connor, since it is your third and final year, how are you feeling about it?
It's definitely interesting. I'm actually doing my dissertation on student activism. Only me could make up my mind about my dissertation topic before the year even begins. Like, none of my other course mates have even begun to thought about it yet. But here I am writing an entire plan of what I want to write. So
That's good though.
it is going to be interesting. My third year, I'm also going to be my department rep, which is something I'm really excited for. I hope that it allows me to have a bigger and more important voice so that I can sort of help my university ride out whatever's next for this COVID pandemic, because it isn't over. There's going to be more restrictions in winter probably. And I'm just glad I have the opportunity to help the student body in my department get through it.
What a lovely way to sort of close off the episode. Connor
Ooh.
saving the day.
Yes, superhero Connor just swooping in, saving all the students from the big bad corporations. Well, that was episode one of this educational podcast. If you enjoyed this, please be sure to leave us a review and follow us on @BylinesPod on social media.
Thank you for John and Jules Greenback for editing this podcast.
Also, please be on the lookout for the rest of the episodes that should be making their way to you very, very soon. If you do like our music, it was Vauxhall Revolution by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks, Kevin.